it's Monet Exchange.
And my name is Bob the Drag Queen, and this is Sibling Advisory. Now, listen, we all know that we are not doctors.
Not even a little bit.
We're not therapists. We are not psychologists.
We don't know much about algebra.
Psychiatrists. If you need advice, please go to your doctor, your rabbi, your priest, your shaman, your teacher, your therapist. This is just for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, everything we're saying is for use in this podcast only. Do not take this as sound advice to take into the world to remedy your issues. If you have, do not take any of this seriously. This is for entertainment purposes only, and we don't want anyone to feel like we are diagnosing them, that we're giving them a prognosis of on life.
So with that in line, let's get into some advisory. Any?
Bob.
I have to tell you something really important.
All right, what do you want to tell me?
Cool it down, my pretty. Bad bitch, you been a bad bitch, glitchy. Fine. Liberated, like we ain't got time. Yada, 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 bum, ka, ka. Bouncing on that ass. Cool it down, like it.
That's Heated from, I Googled it. That's Heated. From the new album.
Did you really Google it in that time? Which words did you Google specifically that got it?
Cool it down, my pretty.
When you say it's so sterile like that, it really, when you said it's so sterile, cool it down, my pretty.
Cool it down, my pretty.
But bad bitchy make a bad bitch glitchy.
You want me to read it like that? Okay. Cool it down, my pretty. But bad bitchy make a bad bitch glitchy. Fine. Liberated living like we ain't got time. It sounds like how like how someone's mom would read it back to them. This what you've been reading at school? this what y'all call music today? Calm it down, my pretty. Back bitch, in my day, we had lyrics.
Bitch, this is how we read lyrics when we are doing watchery. We're like, her name was Ashton Sorrow, and now is Blasted in Lights.
Her name was Etcha Sorrow. Her name was Etcha Sorrow, but now her name is Blasted Delight. That is my favorite. Miss her name was Etcha. Y'all know Etcha Sorrow. Etcha Sorrow used to work at Barracuda. Anyway, she changed her drag name. Her name is now Blasted Delight. She's on. That's the girl who goes from Dragula to Drag Race. On Dragula, her name is Etcha Sorrow.
Drag Race.
She got on Drag Race, and her name is now Blasted Delight.
This is my story. I've been telling people this story, and now I can't remember. You probably remember better than me because my memory is so fucked up. Who thought that about whose lyrics? That it was Ashton. I think it was Naomi thought Ashton.
No, I joked. I knew what it was the whole time. I just kept joking that her name was Etcha Sorrow, and now it's Blasted Alive.
No, Monet is thinking of Naomi Smalls thinking To the Moon was Toodaloo.
No. Oh my God! There's so many things here. No, somebody on All Stars 4 thought that the lyrics were her name was Ashton Sorrow, and now it's Blasted in Light. Like they thought Asia was saying my name was at like her boy name. My name was Ashton Sorrow, but now it's Blasted in Light. And I think it was Naomi. We were like we were at All Stars from All Stars, and she was like, what a weird lyric. And I was like, because the All-Stars, the season 10 finale had just happened. And we were talking about it, like, when we were there. And she's like, what a weird lyric. And she was like, Ashton Sorrow? And I was like, no, bitch. She was saying her name was Etched in Sorrow.
Her name was Etched in Sorrow, but now it's Blasted in Lights.
Didn't Naomi also think it was Toodaloo?
I thought it was Toodaloo.
I thought it was Monet. Toodaloo.
I thought it was Toodaloo. Toodaloo. Because it was at the end of the episode. It sounded like Toodaloo. Like RuPaul was like, bye. Just like RuPaul said, bitch, RuPaul's song, the fucking lyrics for motherfucking Bring Back My Girls, she going back to the workroom, rethink her life, vodka and crap. I was like, oh my God, bitch. That is very aggressive lyrics. That's all called.
Yeah, bring back my girls. Bring back my girls. What they at?
Vodka and cranberry. Thank you, dog. Girl, I thought you lost and found. Mama Ru about to show you who you was before you went and lost your mind. Bring back my girls.
I really did enjoy
There's a chunk of RuPaul's lyrics from the song is called "Just What They Want" that I really appreciate. I want to find the lyrics so that I don't get them wrong. Hold on, I want to read them. I'm pretty sure I know them. Hold on one second.
Also, "Catitude" by RuPaul is really everything.
"Just What They Want" lyrics. All right. The lyrics they get me are when she goes, here it is. "You know I'm looking for the bitch who wants to walk, looking for the bitch with the pussy that wants to pop, especially when the pop's severe, better tuck the jock, making it appear to the kid he could drip the drop." I don't know why I love that lyric so much. "Making it appear as if the kid he could drip the drop." She said, "That pussy got a little wet."
Can we read? I want to read "Catitude." It's my favorite. RuPaul goes,
"Rise, shine, clocking no, pussy ride, time.
Ride, shine, clocking said pussy time. Bust my pussy nut while I'm fingering your butt. Do I suck dick? You ain't seen shit. Throw a seed on, watch you slide down my throat. Yeah, my pussy fine. I pop it because it's mine. I don't give a fuck if they call me a slut. What I do with the dick? Elect me president. Put tears in his eyes when I milk a brother." When RuPaul was 59.
Okay, older people have sexuality too, Monet.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm trying to picture that is about the age of my mom. Imagine my mom writing these lyrics. I'm like, Ma, no.
Well, if your mother was engaging in some of this before 59, I mean, I bet you could imagine Lil Kim doing that at 59.
I mean? I just thought. And I know it's this advice. Last thing I want to say, and Bob may have something to say too. I just saw this interview of Lil Kim on Geraldo, or maybe it was Jenny Jones, or some daytime talk show back then in the 90s. And it's like all these Christians, all these like moms, all these like rabbis, like coming at Lil Kim, talking about how like black women, like somehow how these lyrics are really causing violence against women and black women, and she ought to be ashamed of herself. How can she sit up here and smile and have, and I was like, oh my God, Lil Kim was really, bitch, they were fucking trying to crucify this woman for just singing and rapping about what she likes to fucking do with her body. Like, that shit is crazy. I was like, this is crazy.
Well, you know, ahead of her time. I think
really,
that,
truly.
I was thinking about it the other day. I don't know why I was thinking about this, but like, I was like hooking up with someone, and you know, hookup stories about me never surface. No one's ever like, I had sex with Bob's drag queen and this. And people are more discreet in the world because I make the rounds. And I was thinking to myself, because RuPaul talks about how she be hooking up and having sex to this day still, and I'd be like, who be out here fucking RuPaul and is not telling anyone? And how have you not told anyone?
Maybe he's not talking about it right now. I mean, we're maybe talking about former times in his life.
I think when you get to that level, also you get people to sign NDAs.
But do you think RuPaul's just fucking and just not, like, I don't think RuPaul just stopped fucking because she's in her 60s.
Not fucking, but maybe RuPaul probably got that steady rotation. Maybe at this point, RuPaul got like these six trustworthy niggas that when RuPaul wants some dick or he wants some booty or whatever he wants, RuPaul's like, I'm flying you out to LA. The jet is coming. Like, Jacob. RuPaul probably got that rotation that he gets.
Stories surfaced about you? Have you seen anyone online being like, I fuck Monet and here's what, and I live to tell the story?
No, they haven't. But one, and someone.
And do you get around?
I used to. Now I am currently in a monogamous situation.
We get it. Oh my God, we get it. Not every episode.
Oh my God,
I haven't done anything with any. I know. God,
bitch, you fucking asked me, nigga.
Oh, you would bring up that you're monogamous every week.
Mr. Apolly. I didn't know, Polly Molly.
I don't bring it up every episode. You be bringing it up every episode. You be like, you and your boyfriends and get. We get it. You are monogamous. We know. Oh my God.
You bring it up. Anyway, but I will say one time I was when I first moved to LA, I was a Ruby from my LA fantasy. And bitch, I was with someone and we went to a bathroom at a restaurant. Well, I went to go to the bathroom. And they went, like, I excused myself and said, like, I'm going to use the restroom. I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna go too. And I'd never used a restroom at this place before. So I'm thinking it was like a bathroom with like multiple stalls, but it was a one stall bathroom. And the person came to the bathroom with me. And we both had a few drinks at dinner. And they were like one thing. So I was like, oh, there's only one stall in here. And they're like, still, and they closed it all, locked it. Bitch, pull my dick out, started like sucking my dick in the bathroom.
Do I know this person?
Do you know them?
Okay, I'm on a red
wait,
thread
wait,
right now.
Wait, free. I want one to answer this question.
Yeah,
I know who this is.
Hmm.
Like personally, like well,
bitch. What this? If you know them, yes, you do.
Who did? Is it Andy? Did Andy do this?
No, not Andy.
Were you dating this person?
No, I was not.
Is this the same person that tried to suck your dick at the Abbey? You what?
Yes.
Well, you actually hooked up with them?
No, Bob. We'll talk about this offline.
You brought it up. Okay. You brought it up.
That's all I wanted to say. That's all. We'll talk about the rest of it. Because now, Bob, this is how Bob does. We're like, okay, all right. Last question, Monet. And were you on the same season with them? Okay, great. All right.
You brought all that up.
I'm just saying different things. But I was like, okay, and you went to high school too?
But I did not bring this up. You brought this up. This is all you. All right, Jacob's on Reddit.
Yes. So I'm looking at a Reddit thread from 8 years ago. So keep in mind it's dated. There were stories mainly about three queens, a few about Jujubee, and then the two who have the most stories are Detox and Willem. Which honestly,
Willem, not surprising. Detox, not surprising. Willem
getting around that scans. That scans.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
100%. Well, you know what? Good for them. Maybe we thought we got around, but we really don't. Maybe we thought we was hoeing, and these hoes is hoeing. I would say I did one time hook up with a guy who, like, during sex was like, it was getting ready. He goes, and just so you know, I'm not nervous. I fuck Detox. Or Detox fucked me. He's like, Detox fucked me like 2 weeks ago. So like, I'm not nervous around Drag Race girls.
Have either of you ever hooked up with the same person?
No. That's my knowledge.
I don't think Bob and I have hooked up with the same person. Bob and I just have different types though. Like, you know, I like bigger, beefier. Bob is like big and beefy. I like guys beefy.
Just be clear, I'm a big
lady, so I need big and beefy.
To be clear, I have a very wide palate.
I mean, yes, you do, but you said all the time you don't want to be like you like Monet. You like the big beefy niggas. That's literally what you be saying to me.
Yeah, but I didn't say I don't. That's a different. I'm saying what you like. You're saying what I don't like.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob.
I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was boring, it was gray, it was looking crazy, and I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever, so it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century, and that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back
I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they serve millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code rivalry to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
Jacob, do you have the questions loaded today? Or are we going to wait? Because the Patreons are gathering you.
You know, it's the internet. It's going to look.
Monet, you're a monster today.
Hi, Bob and Monet. What motivates you to work out when you are working out? Because I try and I work out for all of 15 minutes and I'm like, girl, Great American Cookie is right around the corner. Why am I even bothering? what motivates you to get sweaty and get toned up? Sincerely, thicker than two Snickers.
I have a few motivations to get to work out. So one, I think that I found a partner that also likes to work out too. So we like working out together, and so that's fun. Number two, I like going to the gym in the morning and really like doing that in my day. And number three, because I eat so poorly, like, bitch, I eat donuts. Bitch, I went to Magnolia today. I had a vanilla confetti cake and I had a blondie. And what about it? And then also, so to maintain how bad I eat, I have to work out. Like, I just have to, or else if I don't work out and eat how I eat, which is really bad, which is, it's a game over for me and what I want my body to look like. And also three, y'all know I like how I look when I work out. I like how I look when I'm, I like how I look naked when I work out and I'm getting my acceptance. So that's my motivation. Like going to the gym with my partner, just trying to stay at a nice even place to balance what I'm eating, and three, just to how I look naked when I work out. Those are my three motivating things.
I don't like going to the gym. I don't go to the gym and I don't work out very often. So I don't know what makes you think that I am in the gym or that I am toned. I am not toned. I do not work out. Sometimes I go. Sometimes when I am working out, it's usually because I'm working out with a trainer. You know, I'm someone who really does what I say I'm going to do. And if I'm going to meet someone somewhere, then I'm going to meet them there. So there have been a lot of times in my life where the only reason I worked out was because I said I was going to meet my trainer. And I'm like, all right, hey, Ridge, we're both here. Let's work out. I have not worked out with Ridge in a month of Sundays.
For 30 weeks.
I mean, it's more of a saying than an actual unit of measure. I don't know, baby. I mean, I don't know what you got to do to get to motivate yourself. I mean, I went through a breakup, and when I went through the breakup, I was waking up every morning and doing Runyon Canyon, but that was because I was trying to clear my brain. I was like enjoying the walk, and I was listening to music and on the the mountainside, clearing my brain. And I really enjoyed that, actually. But then once I was, like, kind of over it, I was like, okay, I'm going right around.
Bob also loves walks. Bob, like, Monet, so the amount of sentences that start with Bob, like, so I was on a walk. Bob loves going on his little walk. Bob loves to do a little walking. Bob also makes sure he counts his steps. You count your steps every day.
Yeah, I count my steps every day. I can't find my watch right now. So my steps, I don't know what my steps are giving on this day, because now I just have to just go off what my phone does. But my walk today was 11,000 steps, which is
you just say you don't have the watch. So how do you know what
to do? I have my phone for my walk. So you take your phone with you, and your phone has a pedometer in it as well. But when I'm at home, I actually don't count my steps because I'm not carrying my phone around the house.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, just find something like you have to, if you are going to the gym or you want to go, there has to be some, like, that doesn't have to be, but I imagine or assume there's some reason why you want to do it. Either you want to be healthier, or you want to lose a couple pounds, or you want to be fitter. Like, so that could be your motivation, or you can either find a superficial or a health reason why you want to motivate to go to the gym, you know?
First, ask yourself, why are you going to the gymnasium? No, there was a point in my life where I said I can either do the mental work that it takes to be happy with my body, or I can do the physical work it takes to change my body. And I have decided to do neither. All right, Jacob, what is our next question?
Hi, my name is Bob. My name is Jay. I am from buttfuck literally nowhere, and I need some advice. So I have somebody in my life who is spreading rumors. And I need some advice of like a mature and adult way to handle things like that, because I want to be immature about it. However, I know that's not going to help me in the long run. Anyways, thank you. I love you both. And please help me out. Sincerely.
We're gonna risk it.
No, we're not.
We're gonna risk it for the biscuit. Oh, this is a bitch that used to smoke puff pass, do shots, and crack on camera. Oh, now she's
crack. You're a crack.
Now she's the queen of we're gonna get clocked.
Your turn to go first, whore.
We're gonna get clocked. Okay, someone's spreading rumors about you. Okay, here's the thing about rumors. Are they okay? What is the definition of rumor? If it's true, is it a rumor? Also, what is it? What is this person saying about you? Like, are they talking about something you did that is a current circulating story or uncertain or doubtful truth? Is what they're saying about you completely false? Or is it true, but it's just not anyone's business? Is it like Monet fucked the football team? Well, that's between Monet and the football team.
I think rumors are supposed to be not true.
It says that we don't know if they're true. According to this definition, uncertain or doubtful truth. So we don't know if it's true. Because sometimes rumors are true. You know what I mean?
This is true.
And I think that...
Well, that's a rumor.
That is a rumor. We don't know that for sure. But according to Oxford Languages, that's what they're saying. But I think that I'm a go to the source kind of person. When I hear something and I don't know if it's true or not, I call the person. But I call folks all the time. I am the queen of confronting things head on, talking immediately, getting right down to the source. Which some people are like, "Wow, Bob really be up in here confronting people." But it's not even about confronting. It's just like, "Hey, someone said that you told them that I fucked the football team." First of all, I want to ask, did you say that? And if they say yes, and I'll be like, well, why would you, you know, when you, I'm going to give you some advice. I think I told you a while back. I used to work for this theater company called Climb Theater. And if you're being bullied, you got to do these three things. I can't remember the steps. Say what you see. Say what you want. No, say what you see. Say how you feel. Say what you want. Those are three. Say what you see. Say how you feel. Say what you want. Hey, I see that you're telling people that I fuck the football team. I don't like when you say that, it feels like you're slut shaming me. It feels like you are saying it so that you can build a negative perception about me. It feels like you're telling people specifically so that I can look bad, and I want you to stop that. And I would like to cease communication. I don't want to be friends anymore. Say what you see, say how you feel, say what you want. I can't believe I'm still saying that years later. It was like years ago when I was teaching kids this. Now I'm teaching adults.
Yeah, I was going to say it depends on like what, like, because also if you confront this person and they're not ready to handle it in the same mature way you are, then there's a possibility of this escalating. Not only is going to be physical violence or more rumors or whatever. So I think you have to like, if it's something like, if it's a rumor that bothers you, it doesn't matter how small it is, the person should still stop it. I was going to say, I think maybe Bob's like, what Bob is saying is probably the best way to go about it. Because, you know, and I wonder how old you are. Like, is this like a rumor at work that can get you fired? Or is this like, are you in high school and they're saying that you failed the math test when you did, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, even in high school or at a collegiate level or yeah, in a workplace, they can still fuck you up. You know, rumors can really have a really negative impact, yeah. whether they're true or not. Whether Jay fucked the football team or whether Jay did not fuck the football team, it's really not anyone's business besides Jay and the football team. You know, I'm spreading rumors about Jay. Jay did not say they fucked the football team. I'm just using it as an example.
It was the soccer team, not the football team.
Got it.
Yeah. I think Bob gave some good advice. Yeah, Bob gave some good advice there to handle it that way. I think that's solid advice.
I can't say I came up with that, but I can say that I do also think that it is very good.
Because like my gut reaction is to be petty and be a child about it, depending on what it is. I would have either ignore it or not. Like remember years ago it is years ago when that rumor, people started spreading that rumor about Valentina, how she only wanted red M&Ms, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And you know, that had like champagne and red M&Ms, and that had like actual repercussions on her. Like people like wouldn't want to book her because she's too demanding or whatever it was. And come to find out, well, that wasn't even Valentina, it was someone else. So like rumors, I don't want to say her name because she gets wild. But we can bleep it. Apparently it was like she was the one that did that. But because of the drama with the two of them, it made it look like it was her. It was like this whole thing.
I saw this woman today online. So she found out her boyfriend cheated. So she took like a pickaxe and she like cut FU into his wall. Like she like hammered it into his wall. And then this other woman stitched it. She was like, no, listen, if you catch your partner cheating, do not let them know that you caught them. Do not let them know that you caught them. What you're actually supposed to do is you make sure you make a list of all the things that your partner loves about themselves. Like Monet's very talented. Monet's a good friend. Monet's is a great kid to her parents. Monet shows up for people. You make a list of all the things that this person loves about themselves. You know, they have a strong work ethic. And then you set up their perfect date. You go to their perfect restaurant. Go to their favorite place. You order their favorite food. Then all of a sudden, in the middle of the date, where you just smile and you just go completely blank. And then you just go, I can't do this anymore. And then when they ask you why not, you name all the things they love about themselves, but you say they're bad at it. You go, honestly, it's because you're not a good person. You're not a good friend. You're very lazy. You're not a hard worker. You're horrible to your parents. You're not good at drag.
That's good.
You're a bad singer. Good. And it's kind of embarrassing. And but you cannot let them know
that you know they
find out they cheated. You have to just have it be like that, and then you cease communication with them. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Honestly, I fucking love that. Ooh, I fucking love that. I love that shit. I was watching.
Do you believe in karma?
I used to. I don't know. I go back and forth. I've been watching a lot of stuff on Netflix about like psychedelic stuff and like other like religious stuff. So I honestly, I'm in a place where I do not know if karma is real. I don't know.
I was talking to my mom about religion recently, and she was asking why I'm not Christian. She was going on and on and on about why I'm not Christian.
I feel like you talk about it a lot, why you're not Christian.
Well, my mom
and your mom listens to everything that you do.
But not the podcast. The podcast is too much. She listens to it. She does everything else. So she goes on and then she was like, she was like, Monet's not like that. And I was like, what do you think? You think Monet's like some super Christian?
I was like, I'm agnostic. I said it before. I don't think that I'm the, you think that, which when you die, you just, you said it's a lot like when you believe. I think, I don't know where you go, but I definitely think that I don't think. Wait, this is not a rivalry, but I don't know.
We know you don't know. We get it. You don't know. None of us know. We get it. You're monogamous. Oh my god, this is. We know. Oh my god, tell us more about your monogamy.
Jacob, play the next question, please.
Hey, Bob and Monet. My name is Jay Black. I'm 34 and I reside in San Francisco.
Cool name.
My partner and I have been interested in engaging in a sexual encounter with another couple that we aren't really too close with, but we're always sweet and nice. And when we see each other, when our friend groups run into each other out and about. And over the last year or so, we have had one-off conversations between each of the partners alluding to the idea of it. There's been some flirting, extended body contact, some hand-holding, and one drunken makeout between me and one of them, but no conversations about it as a group or any scheduled plan. So my question is, what's the next step? How should I approach making it happen? And funny enough, they're kind of like friends of yours, Monet.
I mean, I have a lot of friends in SF, so I... first, bitch, I thought you were drinking from a hydrogen peroxide bottle. I was like, he, you have gone off the deep end. This nigga's over here drinking hydrogen peroxide. I'm like, it's not alcohol.
You know what I mean?
So first of all, it sounds like you have all the keys. You have, bitch, you have all the ducks in a row, everything in position to make it happen. Y'all have made out. Y'all have had body contact. Y'all holding hands. I think the only thing he's that's like, missing
he's
is
like he hovered his mouth over my dick, but he didn't suck it.
You know, so I think all you have to say is like, yo, what's good? Like, hey, me and Ray are obviously we're like really into y'all. Like, what do you say we set up a night this week that y'all come over and we like you know, whatever. Like, think of like a slick way to do it.
That's awkward.
I mean, or y'all invite them over to chill or whatever, or watch a movie together. And as you know what? Watch Wednesday. It's a scary movie. So that gives you a reason to get close to each other. While you're watching Wednesday, somebody just, you know, it's cold right now. Yes, it's the cold time in SF. October, November. Perfect. So as it get a little cold, y'all open the window. Y'all got a little blanket on. Just start sucking some dick. Just start sucking some dick on the couch. Like, I mean, y'all are grown ass men. Y'all have been making out and holding dicks and holding asses. Like, I mean, if somebody get a little chub in the movie and you put their hand on their dick, it's going to do what it's going to do.
Okay, they didn't say they were holding dicks. They're holding, he said hands.
Body contact. What does body contact mean?
Extended body contact and holding hands. That does not mean holding dicks, Monet. That does not mean holding dicks and holding asses. I just want to be very clear about that.
Well, I have extended body contact.
So, you know, me and Jacob were hooking up with this couple in San Francisco, but what we were actually doing was I was hooking up with one of them and Jacob was hooking up with the other one. And we never actually, all four of us have never gotten together at the same time. Three of us had gotten together, but never all four of us. And I feel like, first of all, you should definitely, whichever one of you, two of you are closest to getting it on, I think that what you should do, you should let them know that me and my partner think you're both hot. Like, we think you're really, really hot. Sometimes some people just need someone to like pull the trigger and say, and not say you look cute tonight, you look great, hot or sexy. Hot or sexy are the words that will let people know this is not just friends saying that you look nice. It is saying like you look me and Monet thought you look really. If me and Monet are trying to get with Heidi and what's Heidi's Jada Essence Hall.
Jada.
If me and Monet are trying to make the moves on Heidi and Jada, let's say me and Heidi made out one time at a party. And I just say, me and Monet thought that you looked really sexy tonight, Heidi. I'm not going to lie. You looked really hot. And then Heidi says, thanks. I'm like, and we also think that Jada looks really hot too. And we would love to have you over sometime. So I would say, when you invite them over, make your intentions clear. Don't just invite them over to say, we're going to watch Wednesday and then start slipping digits in people's holes. I would say, let them know why they're coming over before they come over, personally.
I mean, really? I feel like that kind of takes like the fun out of it. I feel like if you invite them over for a dinner, a movie or whatever, just to chill at the house and watch a movie, I think that is literally Netflix and chilling. Like, people know what's up.
Okay, you've invited me and Jacob.
But also, but to your point,
there's no dick holding in.
To your point, though, I will say for gay men, it's a little different because maybe they may not, if the intention is not super clear, then the bottom may not douche. So it may prevent like the full, like whatever from happening. So that's the thing with gay sex. Gay sex can be so tricky because you want to be spontaneous sometimes, but bitch, you gotta get your shit right. Like you gotta make sure you're ready to fuck. So that is the thing about gay sex. Whereas straight people have it easy. Somebody's always ready to, somebody's always down.
Lots of gay people who have sex that doesn't include
this is true.
I don't think there's anything unsexy about letting people know your intention before you come over personally, but if that kills the mood for you, just be prepared to have nothing happen.
This is true.
That's all I'm saying. You don't think it's sexy for someone to say, I want, hey, come over, let's have sex?
You say what? If that's sexy?
Yeah, you're like it's not cool or it kills, like I can't remember how you put it. How did you put it?
Maybe I said it was whack to like say beforehand, like it.
You think it's whack to like let someone know that you're coming over to have sex?
Not that sick, but I think there is something fun about the like the mystery of it all, and like of like going over to chill and then like thing, because then there's that whole it just feels more spontaneous, and to me that feels more sexy. Like when you're just going to watch a movie and like, you know, things just happen, like that's sexy, like that's hot, you know, for me.
So I guess it all depends on what's sexy to you.
Yeah.
All right, Jacob. Let's give some more advice.
It's loading. It's gonna start playing one moment. We're gonna let it load.
Jacob. Don't let Monet bully you.
You know, sometimes it takes longer to load than others, and that is not my fault. I am doing the best I can, but I'm just gonna keep talking, and it's gonna load eventually. And you know, here it is.
Hi, Bob and Monet. My name is Jacob. I'm 29 from Seattle. And I just had a question. So me and some of my friends were on a reality television show, and we wanted to film a reunion type thing separate from the company that made the reality TV show. But just kind of due to some legal hoops and stuff like that, we're not really able to release it, even though we've already filmed it. And I was just curious, maybe if one of you might have some advice, because I think the fans really do want to hear what we have to say. And I'm just kind of stuck in a little bit of a pickle. So I thought I'd reach out. Big fan. Love the podcast. Love you guys. Thanks. Bye.
All right. It is my go. I'm going to recommend you do this. You delete the footage. Never bring it up again. Because you know that those people have more money, resources, and power than you, and they are probably very serious about what they're talking about. So if I were you, I would just become one with the wind and sky and let it go. Let it go.
You know, I'm going to go a step further. I think that you should pack up your shit and leave the country. I think you should flee to another country, leave your life and family where you live and never look back. Leave Seattle, bitch, without a trace. Gone. Because to Bob's point, they possess a certain amount of lawyers and skills, and they will find you, and they will get you.
The country, lead the planet, bitch. Next time they see you, it should be Mars versus the universe, bitch.
Bitch, toodaloo.
Mars versus the galaxy. Get the hell out of town.
I should not have sang that song. I should have sang that song. I should have sang that song.
Jacob, play the next motherfucker. Y'all are wild.
Hey, Monet and Bob. I'm Brian. He, him, his. Based in Harlem, really close to Bob's old apartment, actually, and born and raised in Rwanda. My question is, have you ever had to restructure a relationship, friendships, or romantic? So kind of like reestablish boundaries. How did you go about that? And where has that like led that relationship?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think that, especially in relationships, I think that after like some time has passed, I think that it is, for me, is good practice to, if you feel that certain boundaries have been crossed or certain things are just hitting you different. Because also, in the course of a friendship or relationship, you are growing and changing as well. So boundaries that you may not have had when you first met, you may develop them later on. And also, when you are with someone, there are certain boundaries that you like again, that you realize, oh, this is a thing that I have a boundary around. And I think it's really good practice to recognize that and vocalize that. And now I think I can admit that I'm not always, I'm guilty of not always saying those things immediately when I think it. And sometimes I let it boil and I get to a point where it has to come up. And sometimes it's not always in the nicest way because I let it get to that point. So I would say if you see their boundaries and certain things in a relationship or a friendship that they are getting to you and they are starting to make you build resentments because you have not talked about it out loud and it's just festering, I think it's really, really, really important to bring it up sooner rather than later because, you know, if you wait too late, it could be catastrophic and end their friendship or the relationship. So I think it's really important to bring those things up right when you notice them and you see them affecting you.
I'm assuming what you mean is like a relationship shifting. I'm assuming you mean like a partner becoming an ex becoming your friend. I'm assuming that's what you mean.
Oh, I thought they meant in not just boundaries. I heard like boundaries like in a relationship. That's what I thought.
Can you play it again, Jacob? Or what did you get from it, Jacob?
I think it'd be both. I thought it was boundaries in a friendship. I can play it again though if you give me a second. Hey, I just need to pull it back up. Okay.
Excuse me. Sorry, I'm yawning.
But I thought it was just like reestablishing in any relationship.
Hey, Monet and Bob. I'm Brian, he, him, his, based in Harlem, really close to Bob's old apartment, actually, and born and raised in Rwanda. My question is, have you ever had to restructure a relationship, friendships or romantic? So kind of like reestablish boundaries. How did you go about that? And
got it, okay.
Where has that like led that relationship?
So, I mean, I think setting healthy boundaries is really important. I think that setting boundaries as you go along is also important. Sometimes if you, like when they say, if you wait too long to set your boundaries, you'll have to set a lot at one time. Or it really starts to bother you because this person has been going over this boundary that you haven't made clear for a really long time. And sometimes, I don't know if you're the kind of person who feels comfortable saying what you need, or if you're the kind of person who feels comfortable being like, I don't like when you blank, 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 or we are no longer going to be having sex, or we are no longer going to be, you and I can't work together anymore. I have had a friend that had to be like, I love you. We cannot work together anymore. If we're going to be friends, we just cannot work together anymore. We ended up not being friends at all.
And we just ended up just doing the podcast together.
Anyway, yeah, this is work. Trust me, and one of us is doing a lot of heavy lifting. But yeah, no, it does, and that really negatively impacted our friendship because we found out that the work was actually what was keeping our bond. The working together was what was actually making us stay friends. We didn't realize that without the work, we didn't really have a friendship. And I think it was necessary to find that out, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think boundaries are important. And also, and the older you get too, I wish I'd learned about boundaries younger. I think boundaries are something that I realized were really important to me, like late in my 20s, like maybe actually when I was 30. And I wish I was clear about setting boundaries when I was younger, because I feel like some things in my life just would have been different if I was very clear about setting boundaries and intentions way earlier, like at a younger age. So if you're young, listen to this, learn that is an important part of our life. Boundaries are very important in your life.
You ever seen a close-up of skin, like a super deep, like micro magnifying glass or like telescope on your skin? Because like
a microscope?
A microscope. Isn't that the word? A telescope?
No, a telescope is for the stars. A microscope is for your like
a microscope cells. on your skin or something. I look at my skin. I was like, well, my skin looks really smooth, but I bet if I got up close, it would look like the fucking surface of the sun or the ground of a desert, like cracked mud. But right now, I'm like, wow, it looks so smooth. But like up close, I'd be like, this is crazy.
That's because it's paint. It's paint. It's paint. It's paint.
Where are you right now?
Me? I'm in Santa Barbara. At a little barbecue thing.
Who's barbecue?
My friend of mine that lives in Santa Barbara.
You better keep secrets. Play the next question, Jack.
Ask Monet for details. Like, Monet would give you a nugget. I'd be like, Monet, what are you doing? She'd be like, a thing. Okay, what thing? A barbecue. Okay, where? Santa Barbara. Okay, who's barbecue? A friend. Okay, who's the friend? Bitch, give me the information.
Bitch, God, I'm at my house. Bob, you don't know, you don't recognize the background. Bitch, I'm in my home, bitch. Well,
There's no shoes behind you. Where's all the shoes?
I'm in my drag room. I'm in the other room.
Yes, I don't recognize you doing this. Because also, normally, there's a bathroom behind you.
That's the bathroom right there.
Why are you in this room instead of where the desktop is?
Because Dewan and Arcee is here, and the Dewan is staying in that guest room.
Oh, okay.
So we have a couple left. I have one question that I found was notable because the person asking it seemed to be the problem and maybe needed advice about why their behavior was toxic. And then I have a regular one.
Is that one from Mona?
So I don't know if we're interested in engaging that or if we should just do a regular one.
I'm interested in hearing it.
Okay, it gets wild.
They don't know. Hi, Bob Monet. So I need some advice. I am dealing with severe stolen identity, wannabeism, jealousy. So basically, I was dating this man for almost 6 years, very long time. We went on a lot of vacations together, and our friend group was very merged. We all had all the same friends. Now that we broke up, I have completely distanced myself from that whole friend group. And he has a new girlfriend, who we will call Tubby. And Tubby has completely befriended that entire friend group. And now she is best friends with all of the girls that I was best friends with. And she is going on these family vacations and friend vacations that I was going on. And she also is stealing my interest. So Tubby will post like a RuPaul's Drag Race live in Las Vegas when she doesn't fucking watch Drag Race. She just knows that I'm a big fan. And she's purposely doing it to piss me off and get under my skin. And she's doing a good job at it. So I need to know what I should do in this situation, how to ignore it, how to shit on her back. Thank you. Love ya.
Why is she going? Was there some body shaming in that?
I feel like
she said that she's like affectionately called that. Can you play one more time? There's a lot of information.
She did not affectionately call her Tubby.
One more time. Because I didn't get some details too that I like. It's like she gave us like a lot of stuff going on. She was fucking the dude, but then she broke up the dude and then the girl.
Hi, Bob Monet. So I need some advice. I am dealing with severe stolen identity, wannabeism, jealousy. So basically, I was dating this man for almost 6 years, very long time. We went on a lot of vacations together and our friend group was very merged. We all had all the same friends. Now that we broke up, I have completely distanced myself from that whole friend group. And he has a new girlfriend, who we will call Tubby. And Tubby has completely befriended that entire friend group. And now she is best friends with all of the girls that I was best friends with. And she is going on these family vacations and friend vacations that I was going on. And she also is stealing my interest. So Tubby will post like a RuPaul's Drag Race live in Las Vegas when she doesn't fucking watch Drag Race. She just knows that I'm a big fan. And she's purposely doing it to piss me off and get under my skin. And she's doing a good job at it. So I need to know what I should do in this situation. How to ignore it. How to shit on her back. Thank you.
She's like, okay, let's call her a fat cunt. Okay, first of all, fat cunt is watching Drag Race. She's a fake bitch. Yeah. You're first. I'm going to go ahead.
Is it my turn to go? Yeah, it sounds like you're making a lot of assumptions about what this situation is. How do you know she don't watch Drag Race? I mean, obviously you know these people better than we do, but you don't know that for sure that she doesn't watch Drag Race. Drag Race is one of the most popular reality shows of all time. Like, a lot of people watch Drag Race, so you're assuming that she doesn't like Drag Race. Number two, it sounds like you're really obsessed with what this ex is doing, girl. Like, it sounds like you're like really obsessed with knowing like that, like what vacation this is going on. If you have not gotten over the relationship, and if you still find yourself looking into what vacations he's going on, who he's talking to, what his current girlfriend is watching, I think you should do some work about maybe trying to get closure with this ex, so you can move on. But it clearly seems that you have not moved on completely from this ex-boyfriend if you're still so hell-bent on knowing what exactly what he's doing all the time. So I think you should really do some work on how to get closure so you can move on and stop seeing what they're doing.
Yeah, you know, even if she didn't watch Drag Race before, maybe meeting these new friends and they all watch Drag Race, she's like, oh, wow, I'm actually interested in this now. It seems interesting to me. We're assuming. I don't know why you're calling her Tubby. Maybe because her last name is Tubman. I have no clue. Who knows? What I can say is, was this, so when you say your friend groups merged, does that mean that you met, like, did you meet this guy, date him, and then all of his friends became your friends? Or did you bring friends, he brought friends, they mixed together, and now none of them are your friends? But also, you said you distanced yourself from the group. Is the group also distancing itself from you, or are you just choosing not to be around any of these people? So I do have a lot of questions basically about, like, what is going on? And are you... You know, I think that Monet's right. You need to find a way to get closure for yourself because, you know, whether or not she, and also we don't know that she's posting it to get under your skin. She might just really be having fun on vacation and watching RuPaul's Drag Race. You know what I mean? And if she is posting to get under your skin, it's really none of your business. That's her prerogative to post on her social media. As long as she's not, like, harassing you, she's just posting stuff that she likes to do. Even if it is stuff you like to do, she's not, like, posting your name or, you know, spreading rumors about you or telling lies on you. She's just having fun with this guy.
Yeah, she was, like, posting stuff to, like, get at, like, she was, like, showing up at your job and be like, yeah, bitch, now make that motherfucking grilled cheese, you fucking thick-ass hoe. I think that's a different conversation. Like, yeah, fight that bitch. But it seems like she's just doing her own thing, dating her man and watching Drag Race. And you're like, oh, she's doing it. She's only doing those things because she only dated him because I dated him. She's only watching Drag Race because I watched Drag Race. She's only rooting for Willow because I rooted for Willow.
What company sells grilled cheese? I can think of one place that sells grilled cheese sandwiches.
There's a place right on the corner there of the Target right there on Sunset and between and Western. There's this grilled cheese spot that's real good.
There's a great place in Wilton Manor that sells these amazing grilled cheese sandwiches. It's a whole grilled cheese in Fort Lauderdale and Wilton Manor that sells these. It's just a great grilled cheese spot, and it is next level good.
I think Wilton Manors might be your favorite place in Florida. I have heard you talk about Wilton Manors more times than I think maybe Columbus, Georgia. You're obsessed with Wilton Manors.
Am I?
Yes, you talk about Wilton Manors very often.
I mean, I like it there. I do like Wilton Manor. It is nice. I don't know that I'd ever move there, but I got a gig there before Drag Race, which is probably why I was thinking about it a lot there. I also had some hooked up with this really hot guy at Wilton Manor one time.
In the sex place, and because they have that clothing optional.
It was in my hotel room.
Patty and I went there. Patty and I did a gig in Wilton Manors, and I didn't know we were staying at a clothing optional place.
Every once in a while, I will have every once in a while, I end up having like a weekend hookup where it's like you meet them on Friday and y'all are just hooking up all weekend long. This was one of those. It was great. It was great. Shout out to that person. You know who you are.
Back when I was the lady of the streets, not anymore, because
you're monogamous. Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god!
I used to remember those too. I used to remember those too. Especially when we would be in like London for when I did New Year's Eve in London, I was there for like I ended up being there for 6 days. I don't know why I was there for 6 days. I was there for 6 days. Me, Shangela, and Vanjie. We were there for 6 days, and that's when I had that infamous hookup when that guy tried to steal my beats. And act like he did it.
Well, sometimes when you travel internationally, this happens in Australia a lot. You know, you go to these clubs or these theater places, but they're not doing shows on like Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So you have these just days off, or you're there and you're only working weekends. But you're trying to hit, you know, six different cities, but you only have Fridays and Saturdays, so you end up being there for 3 weeks, even though you're only working for 6 days. It's a whole thing. I haven't been to Australia in a minute. Same.
Like 3 or 4 years for me, I haven't been to Australia. Even more for me. I'm going there next year. I'm excited. Yeah, Australia used to be a good time. Bitch, last time I went to Australia, I forgot what Patty and I were doing, but it was a gentleman I had met the first. This was the guy that Jinx and I tell the story about how we hooked up with the same guy in Australia. Well, he hooked up with me, and then later she hooked him up, and he was like, "Sorry, I was meeting up with someone at one of the other girls there," and she was like, "Who was it, Monet?" Like just joking around, and he was like, "Yeah." And then Jinx did not end up hooking up with him. I hooked up with him. And then when I went to Australia again, me and him met up, and he came around with us for a few cities.
Wait, Jinx didn't fuck him?
No, he didn't want to fuck her because him and I were like, we were doing like the week thing. Like we hung out on Friday, Saturday. Like it was like a thing.
Ooh. So I guess Jinx doesn't, I guess Jinx doesn't win everything. I guess Jinx doesn't wear everything, does she, Andy? All right, Jacob, let's do our last one.
I'll tell Jacob what number this is. Jacob, we might do one more after you leave. So you can leave after this one.
Yeah,
you and Jacob
hang out. Yeah.
We'll decide what we're going to do. Thank you.
Hi, Jacob. Thank you so much for listening to all these applications.
You're welcome.
Hi, Bob and Monet. Thank you so much for your advice in advance and for all that you do. Y'all helped me figure out that I am pansexual, so shout out for that.
Word.
So I am a cisgendered white woman, and someday I would really like to give birth to children and to also foster adopt children, or maybe my partner would also give birth to children. But my plan has pretty much always been to give my children non-binary names, just in case they come out as trans. You know, hopefully it'll be less triggering if they get dead name, because they could, of course, change their name if they want. But, yeah, and also to sort of make sure that the environment isn't like, my mom expects me to be, you know, female or male or something, you know what I mean? But I was wondering if y'all had any other advice for, like, a queer-friendly home, like what to do for children. Very nervous about raising children. It's a huge responsibility, but I really love kids, and I just, yeah. So I'm very excited about it, but I'd like to do all that I can, and y'all have taught me so much. So thank you so much. Sincerely, Gay Mama Bear.
Oh my God, Gay Mama Bear is so cute. That laugh was so cute. It was a very cute laugh. You should monetize that. I think your turn, babe.
Okay, let's talk about some gender fluid names or some androgynous names or something.
That's what I was thinking too. Y'all saw me.
There's some great ones. Taylor is a great name that could be either any gender. Sydney is another one. Shannon is another one. Charlie.
I was going to say Charlie.
Billy. Yeah. I mean, any name can really be.
Lee.
Lee is a great one. There's those. Anyway, I'm just throwing those out there as some options. I have a few friends, not many, but I have a few friends who transitioned and were able to keep their names, and they were like, wow, it really is a game changer to be able to like keep your name.
Sammy is a good one.
Yeah. Sam is a good one. Be able to keep their names and not have to switch that up on their document. They're like, oh, I just ended up really looking out. And I also have some friends who have very gendered names who just chose not to change them. And they were like, it is what it is. You know what I mean? That's my name. And I think that I'm thinking about like, wait, when you raise your kids, maybe, you know, something that I really resented growing up was how people in my family would really talk to me about what it meant to be a man and say things like, boys can't do this, girls can't do this, boys do this, girls don't do this. I was a crybaby, and I got often told that boys don't cry, boys can't cry. I'm sure that affected me negatively throughout my life. I was told a lot of times that I was often told that boys can't do a lot of the things that I was doing, which made it didn't feel good. You know, it felt bad, actually. It made me feel like I was fucked up and weird. I think that it's okay to let your kids know that they can be. I don't believe in telling kids they can be anything, because that doesn't really that leaves out a lot of nuance.
You can be anything and you can do anything leaves out a lot of nuance. So I'm just going to say that out loud. But I think that it's okay to let your kids know that they don't have to abide by gender norms. And maybe you can set an example in your own life.
That's gonna be my point. I was like, as a parent, like obviously we pick up a lot of things from our parents. Like a lot of things that I don't even realize in my adult life are because of how I was raised. Like a lot of things, you know what I mean. So I think you setting the example, like you set the tone for a lot of their behavior. So you, if you feel so comfortable to be more fluid in your dress and in your expression as the adult. I think colors, I think obviously fuck the pink and blue thing, like try to pick colors that are pretty neutral, like greens and yellows and like stuff like that to show I think color is it. I think aside from the name thing, colors and just you being the example so that your kid picks up on these things and they feel comfortable with it. Because the more that they see you be comfortable with it, the more they see you expressing yourself fluidly in your gender expression, I think that will set the tone for how they behave and how they react.
You can also do it with hair or with clothing. You know, I was thinking about raising a kid and being like, what if I told my kid, like, well, let's say I had a child who was assigned male at birth. And what I said, I was thinking about this. I don't know if this is, so don't take this advice. It's not tried at all. But I was thinking, what if I was like, okay, society gives you the role of, the society is probably going to treat you like you're a boy. You know what I mean? And statistically, you probably are a boy. Statistically, you probably are. So I just want you to know that to make your life easy, right now, we're going to go with that. But if at any point in time you feel like that doesn't suit you, let me know. We can change. Let me know. We can adjust. If at any point in time you feel like that feels, it hurts you or you feel uncomfortable with this, with these words, then just let me know. But then again, I that is not actual advice that I've seen anywhere in the world, but it's something I thought about a lot.
And I say a bunch of TikToks too. I mean, again, I'm not a parent, so I don't know monetarily how that factors in or what that means for kids in school and all that stuff. But I see a lot of parents let their kids choose their clothes. And I mean, within reason, right? If it's 10 degrees outside, you know you're not wearing shorts and a short sleeve shirt. Like, you know, weather permitting, but parents allowing their kids to choose, because giving your kids ownership of how they get to choose to express themselves, I think it's really important. And then I think that will also give you a guidance. So it's like how they're leaning, like what colors do they like? Like what is that expression? So letting them be at the helm of that, I think is really important in like a fierce way. And also you said that you're a cis white, that you're a cis white mom, cis white woman. So I think that's what you said.
Yeah.
And I would also implore you to culturally too, if you end up having white children, to give them black dolls and black Barbies and let them experience those things, so that not all their, if you do get Barbies or G.I. Joes, that they're all not white, that you give them different Barbies and sets of players, so that they get that side of it too, not just gender but also culturally.
Did you have white toys? That is
also very important. I did. I didn't have Barbies or anything, but when I had, I didn't play, I wasn't a G.I. Joe person either. I was a video game kid, like, because my brother had video games. I was, from pretty young, like, I was video games. I don't remember having
any toys, though.
I don't remember. I really don't remember.
I loved action figures. I really loved action figures growing up so much. And a lot of my action figures, some of them were white, but they were also based off like characters from TV. So like I played with like Wolverine. So Wolverine was white because Wolverine is white in the cartoons. You know what I mean? But I always wanted the black, if it was a generic, like a Barbie or like a Ken or something, I did want the black one as a kid.
I love that.
And I also loved going to see the black Santa.
Oh, we didn't have Santa Claus. We didn't have malls like that in San Lucia. So, and I've never been to a mall to take a picture of Santa Claus.
I have. And it was really like, because of a show called Family Matters, I believed as a kid, I was like, the real Santa Claus is black because I saw him on Family Matters. Like, I know the real Santa Claus is black. I know it because I saw him on Family Matters.
Yeah. I watched Family Matters, but I don't remember the black Santa Claus episode. But I'm sure. There were black families. I'm sure that was a thing. I didn't remember seeing that, though.
Did you believe in Santa Claus as a child?
I think I did. I did up until like maybe like 7. But I remember one year, because my mom and my dad, they would buy like all the presents and they would like hide them in the game room closet. But like in our game room closet, there was like a part, like they were like, stored stuff.
A whole room for a game.
Oh my God. Okay, when I say room, it wasn't like a room.
When I said the game suite,
it was like a walk-in closet. And then so like they would put the gifts all behind there or my mom's closet.
Wait, the game room had a walk-in closet?
So I remember opening, I went to go look for something in her closet and I saw the gifts and I don't know, my brain just put, I was like, oh, she's Santa Claus. I was like, she's buying the gifts and she's putting them out, because they would put them out. Like I would go to bed that night and wake up in the morning, it would be like full with gifts. I was like, oh my God, I remember that year. I was like maybe 7 or 8. And I was like, oh my God, they're doing this.
Using the closet looking for curry goat.
Probably about to get slapped.
And you found it. You found Santa Claus.
Right.
Roberta.
People
are on Patreon. I was reading the comments. They're very excited that we're back.
I read them. The comments are really lighting up. The people are happy Watchery is back. Good. A lot of people are like, yeah, we need a break from Drag Race too. I mean, advisory. Jesus.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening to us.
All right, Roberta. I'll talk to you very soon, okay?
All righty.